Strategies Radio. My name is Michelle Price, and I am coming to you from the third coast of Houston, Texas today. And I've got a new question for you. Are you ready to learn, put into action, and make more mistakes in 2014? Yeah, it is that time of year. We are having our Gut Check for Business segment where all of our regular guests are going to be joining us today as we talk about what is the biggest mistake we've made in 2013, what did we learn from it, and what will we be doing different in 2014. What we've decided to do today, and this is going to be interesting, is I'm about to make everybody live. So let me go up and down the switchboard here. All right, Don. I love the fact that you shared with me what yours is, but I think it's an awesome one. I can't wait for you to share with all of our listeners, and I'm already excited and thinking about how I can help you help support you in this in 2014. So the floor is yours, and the mic is yours.
Thank you, Michelle. Well, it was hard to choose just one mistake because I made so many, which is not unusual for me, really. And it's not really a bad thing because we do learn by our mistakes. But the biggest thing that I did wrong in 2013 was I did not get my book written. It is the number one project for my business, for my career, for my speaking business. And it didn't get done. I wanted it to get done. I set a goal to get it done. And it just didn't get done. I look back over the course of the year and see how everything else took the place of time when I should have been writing and creating the marketing plan for the book and so on and so forth. So I'm looking at what happened, what went wrong, and what can I do differently this coming year to make sure the book does get written, get published, get out there, and get successful. So one of the keys for me was that I didn't create benchmarks for getting individual pieces of the project. I didn't break the project down into a component parts and to go, okay, well, I'm going to do this here and this here and this here. Because a big project is overwhelming, and it's really easy to put off a big project while getting the other daily things done. So what I need to do is to figure out how to take this big project, break it into pieces, and then create really a process or getting those pieces done. And that's why I'm weak, because I'm not a process person. So I need help from someone like Stephanie. Stephanie's got a call from me to figure out what the process needs to be to make sure that I get each step done at a certain point along the way. The other thing I'm going to do differently this year is I'm going to enlist my mastermind group to help me to get on track and to stay on track. I'm fortunate in that I've got a great mastermind group. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the concept, a mastermind group is a group of people that you assemble. You all get together regularly. You work together. You share your problems, your challenges, your goals. You brainstorm. You help each other. And you help hold each other accountable. So I'm going to enlist my mastermind group to hold me accountable on getting the book written, helping me get the process established to make sure that the book gets done, because that is going to be the most important thing for my business in 2014. So if you've got a big project that you want to get done, figure out what the process you need. Break it down into pieces. Get help if you need. Get someone to hold you accountable. And then do those pieces. Schedule it into your calendar to make it happen.
I can so see how Stephanie would be really helpful with you on that one. It's funny how we've gotten an opportunity to learn where each other's strengths and weaknesses are over even just a short period of time, a year for some of us. But, you know, Don, you've been with us for not quite 4 years, so you've been here for a really long time. And I have to tell you, even though you feel like, and I understand that was your mistake for 2014, having watched how you've grown over these past 4 years has just been a delight. And so I am here in full support of helping you reach that goal for 2014. Stephanie, what kind of advice would you give him on this?
You know, I was over here smiling, muting and unmuting my phone during the entire conversation, biting my tongue, right? Stephanie, you need to be quiet for a little bit, which isn't always easy for me. That's something I'm working on in 2014 as well, so I figured I'd start right now. You know, everything that you've said here, Don, is right on track as far as the very first step is taking it and breaking it down, especially when you're talking about big projects, and I talk to a lot of people that have your goal of writing a book. So you make it so big, and so breaking it down into steps is a great first step. And when you start thinking about your process, start thinking about your personal processes as well. So a lot of the great authors out there, you know, the prolific ones that just write, you know, novel after novel or book after book, they say just write every day, even if what you're writing doesn't make any sense. And so if you've never tried that, Don, I would encourage you. When I get blocked on some of my own writing, I'll sit down at my tool and I'll start writing. I have no idea what I'm going to write today. I don't feel like writing today. And I put, you know, and all of a sudden, this gibberish turns into something pretty decent. So one of the things that I would encourage you to do to put into your process as you're thinking that through is just a way for you to dedicate a specific amount of time every day, because it's easier to build a consistent process over the course of a year if you're doing it in really small bite-sized chunks. The other piece that is a little less technical from a process standpoint, but from a motivation standpoint, you've said that getting this book is like the number one thing you need to do, and it was something you wanted to do this last year. So do something big visually in the space that you work in the most. Now, I know you travel a lot, so that might be your desktop. But put something in front of you that reminds you of your why. Because when you have that in front of you, on those days you're like, I just don't feel like writing, you're going to have that why in front of you, and that's going to be stronger than the desire to put off your writing.
Good idea. Really good idea, Stephanie. Thank you.
I think it's really on point, Stephanie, and I'd also kind of like to direct this, if we can, for a second, over to Daniel, since he is the professional writer on our team, because I know that the reason, one of the reasons he's not going to be a part of the team this next year is not only is he writing his own, so that was not enough for him to stop, but he's actually ghostwriting with someone else. So he has two book projects on his plate for 2014. What kind of advice would you give Don, Daniel?
Well, you know, there's something about what I like about writing in terms of getting it done is that you're always consistently layering one piece on top of another. So if I write a website for somebody, I gather as much information as possible, to make a long story short, through interviews, through collecting collateral, through collecting materials, and then transcribe that, turn that into content, stare at it, rearrange it, and treat it somewhat like a building block. Even though it's a creative exercise, there's plenty to build on. And so, you know, I think, you know, going back to the days when you don't feel like writing and why it's so important is you really are going to get, the more you write, the more of these building blocks that you're going to have, and the more you're going to be able to arrange it. I'm very lucky. The person that I'm writing four has a lot of material ready to go and a lot of building blocks that are already ready to go. But when you start from the ground up, a lot of it has to do with getting that first bit of material out and putting that in some kind of order so that you can play with it. And you don't always control where your brain's going to go. So sometimes it's going to be mush. Sometimes it's going to be very organized. Sometimes your table of contents is going to come to you first. Sometimes you're just going to have fluid concepts and going to have kind of disconnected essays. But the important part is that you're writing. And the important part is that you're taking this information and you're trying to turn it into something that is useful and can play into the project as a whole. And depending on where you are in terms of the concept of your book, you might change concepts halfway through. And that's true for any piece of collateral. You might rearrange the collateral halfway through, the same way you would evolve a business or evolve your personal brand. So that's something I would stress is just gather material, make sure to write, treat it as building blocks, and create the actual content. Make sure that you have content in hand so that you always have something to work with and always have something to rearrange and play with.
I definitely have content. I got plenty of that. Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you, Don. And you're a great writer. You're going to do a great job. I can't wait to read it.
I appreciate it.
Now, someone else I think would be good to get just a short piece of advice from is Jeff, because Jeff's already written 3 books. So he's coming at this from a totally different perspective. What kind of advice would you have for Don, Jeff?
Well, actually, I've written 4 books, not to be...
Oh, I'm sorry. So what would you tell him?
I think, like, when you consider writing in the long form, it's really important to take a marathon attitude towards it or a training attitude towards it and realize that it's not the actual event but the daily practice of writing and making sure that you are in the groove and doing it every day, because books just don't appear. They take a long time to write. Even the shortest of books, 40,000 words, that's the baseline for a novel or a business book. I mean, that's going to take, if you write 1,000 words a day, that's still going to take a month and a half. And that assumes that you have everything planned out in advance, outline, concepts, and research. So, you know, just really know where you want to go and take an everyday attitude and write it one day at a time, literally. And before you know it, it appears before you. I mean, and the other thing, too, is I don't think you have to do this in a cathartic kind of a moment. It doesn't take that long. If you just even dedicate 45 minutes or an hour to it a day, it'll happen before you know it.
Good deal. Thanks, Jeff.
You know what I just realized, too? Don, you have 2 mastermind groups. You have the one there in Colorado, and then you have your BBS mastermind group. We all love supporting you.
That's true.
And that's something I'd like us to think about, how we can do that this year. So, Stephanie, we're gonna go to you next, my dear. What was your biggest mistake in 2013? What did you learn from it, and what do you want to do different in 2014?
Oh, like Don, I had my share of mistakes, so I had to sit and kind of think through which ones did I want to share in this segment time we had today. Really, my biggest mistake is actually one that I have to admit carried over from the previous year, too. A long, long time ago, when I established my blog, I had listened to a number of, at the time, SEO gurus that talked about having keywords in your URL name. And so I named my blog productiveandorganized.net. And what's happened over the course of that time, and I knew this about me, so why I allowed it to happen, I'm not really sure. We're going to be in that forgiving mode that Andrea talked about earlier today. But I continued to evolve where my URL name did not, in terms of the services that I was offering people, in terms of my interest areas, and a lot of other things. And I knew this a couple years ago, but just didn't have the energy, quite honestly, to take on rebranding and a new site. I had been burned a few other times with web projects, and there was some emotional garbage that I needed to get over, quite honestly. All those sounding like really big excuses, but all really true. And I share them here because I know that there's somebody in the listening audience that is sitting with these same types of decisions. And so my big mistake was continuing to stick with that URL. And one of my biggest projects going into 2014 is going to be working through a rebrand, switching out that URL. And one of the reasons that I kept putting it off was because of the SEO that I had built over the years with this site. And, oh, if you change the URL, you're going to lose all that SEO. And what about the comments that you had? And I allowed myself to get caught up in some of the minutiae of that rather than doing what I what I teach my clients to do, of really reaching out and being that bigger you and putting the systems in place and the direction your business is heading. So I'm not allowing myself to get stuck in that minutia anymore, and I'm going to be working through some pretty big technology shifts next year.
I'm curious, how would you like us to support you in that this next year? What are some things that you would find helpful or beneficial?
Holding me to it, for one. when I say that I've had some burned with technology projects in the past, I've lost tens of thousands of dollars on website projects in the past, hiring people, not making good choices, and that type of thing. And so I had to get through that. But I'm sure that I will hit a couple spots in this project where I go, no, I'm good where I'm at. So if you don't see me progressing, call me on it. So far, we're moving at a really good pace, and I have some folks on my team that I'm really excited about. The other piece is I'm really looking for this site to be mobile. So as I'm launching it, if you're wanting to look at it, you know, usability standpoint, give me lots of feedback, kind of like what you did with your site, Michelle, where you were hearing from people, these links don't work, or this isn't reading well, or what have you. That'll be really helpful to me as well.
Boy, I sure know how you feel, because I've gone through two of those in 1 year. And it, yeah, makes you want to pull your hair out, because as much as we think people will be patient and understanding, you know, not everybody who comes to your site is a colleague or a friend or familiar with you, or know that you're going through a rebrand, and they might see something that, you know, that's not how it needs to look, and you're in the middle of a change, and they make a snap decision and don't come back. And yeah, some of us kind of take that personal. We want people to like what we've created. So I totally get what you're talking about, where you're coming from. And I have a question. Dino, you're really great with technology, and you support so many people with Triber, and your understanding of how important all these decisions are is kind of a strength with you. What kind of advice would you give Stephanie?
I'm glad you asked, Michelle, because as Stephanie was explaining what's going on with her, there's like a fire in my belly that I just want to like jump in and shake her. Stephanie, I have a question for you.
Go for
Stephanie,
it.
Do you have your first name, last name .com domain name?
I do. That's okay, what's really
okay,
crazy.
Good.
That's what's really hilarious. I own a bazillion domains, because, and that's where I said, this is I'm coming really clean on this show here and getting really transparent. This is something I've known I needed to do for quite a while.
Gotcha. The way I was going to help Stephanie is by telling her that she has 24 hours to grab her first name, last name .com domain name, or I'm going to do it.
Right. No, exactly. Oh, that's a very good threat. The funny thing is, when I first named my business, I intentionally named it Callahan Solutions, because I knew that my business would evolve over time. And somehow I got a little shifted as I, you know, way back when blogs were first coming out. But yes, I do own that, and I also own the misspelling of my last name as well, because very few people spell Callahan the way our family does.
Gotcha. Good deal. Yeah, you know, at that point, if you're not doing it yourself, you end up paying others, and I certainly have a lot of people whom I would trust with getting this stuff done. So by all means, contact me. I'll put you in touch with someone.
All right. Fantastic.
Yay. I'm loving how we've got enough people on board here that we have an expert almost in every challenge people are presenting. Let's see if we can keep this up through the whole show.
You know, Michelle, I think we will. And I'll come clean on one other thing here, too, because I talk a lot on this show about delegation. So this is where I'm trying to put my, put your money where your mouth is. Because I am a technology, one of my degrees is in computer science. So there's a big part of me that says, oh, I'm just going to go do this and get it out, you know, get it done. But because I know I teach a lot about delegation and really reaching out to people that really know their stuff, that's the other thing that I'm doing with this project.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good for you. It sounds like Dino's going to give you some great advice when we get off air.
I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent.
So we're going to kind of go in order of how people have joined the team, which means Andrea's up next to let us know what's been her big boo-boo for 2013.
Okay. Well, you guys, you know, this is a perpetual screw-up. I have a problem with procrastination, and I have decided that procrastination is going to be the thing for 2014. I was going to put it off to 2015, but then I realized that I was starting to procrastinate again. I thought that maybe 2015 would be perfect, but no, I'm going to do it this year. And it manifests itself in everything. And I was looking through my emails. You know, I read them. And some of the stuff is so nitpicky, it's just so goofy. I read emails, and then I have got a great system. I mean, I work Outlook pretty well, and I've got all these little file folders, my file, but then I don't file. I don't, you know, you're supposed to, and I know Stephanie would have a lot to say about this, it's read it and then either act on it or file it in the appropriate folder or delete it. And so I read it, and then I don't do anything. I think, okay, I'll come back to this. And then I just read. And then so I read the, 50 emails or whatever, and then I move on to, so I get distracted and move on to some other project. So it's just procrastination, and it manifested itself this year, specifically about my website. I mean, I'm operating and I know this is another tech thing, kind of like Steph. I, have a website from 2009. It needs to be updated. I dragged my feet on it, and of course now it's literally starting, the plaster is falling off the sides. It's falling apart, literally. So I've got my web designer, frantically, of course, I'm calling him going, all right, I'm ready, fine, let's get moving on this thing, and I'm finally ready to get started. But I drag my feet because it's just always such a, pain in the butt process to decide, okay, what do we want to keep the same coloring? Do we need to change a logo? If we do, what should all these things be? And it's just not stuff I enjoy. And so I think about Dawn's challenge with the book, and I think sometimes, there are things about projects that we do like and things that we don't. And there are things about creating a new website that I like, specifically when it's done, but celebrating, yay, it's done. So I'm trying to, find the good stuff. And so the year of 2014 is about not procrastinating. And one of my accountability partners, who happens to be my husband, we're in business together, he told me the story, and it stays with me. And sometimes I'm good at this, and I know you guys will appreciate hearing this. There's a guy, I don't even know who this is, he told me this months ago, who, if somebody says something like, oh, you should talk to so-and-so, he won't just write it down in his notes or, jot it down somewhere. He will go, oh, really? I should talk to this person? Okay, hang on. And he will pick up the phone and he will dial. And he does it right then. I mean, he doesn't even write it down in the to-do list. So I don't know if I could get there, but I'd like to get better.
I'm loving it. I can see how several people could help you with this. One, the impression I've gotten from being around Dino is he's an in-the-moment guy. So if you tell him to do something, he's going to go do it right then and there. Would I be correct on that, Dino?
You know, Michelle, I don't know a lot, but I know this one thing. And I've noticed that people who are successful have this thing, and I call it speed of execution. If you put it in front of them, they do it right away. So like that guy, he dialed the guy that he needs to talk to right away.
Mm-hmm.
It's like speed of execution. You do it now. And you get it off the table, and it's done. And I've tried to sort of train myself to take that approach as well. So I do my best, yes.
You know, Andrea, have you thought about putting a big picture in front of you, like a meme that says speed of execution?
I'm thinking of that and medication, Michelle. No, I love the speed of execution. That is so true. And really, maybe I need to be thinking a little bit about, I'm really good with positive motivation, so maybe I need to be thinking a little bit about negative motivation, like if I'm not executing at the speed I should be, if I'm not doing the speed of execution, it's kind of like I need to be penalizing myself, like, no, I don't get to move on to the fun project, you know, that
yeah.
type of thing. I think that's where I'm at this year.
You know
I
what it is, Michelle?
That. What, Dino?
I think what it is that we all want to make the perfect decision. And in order for us to make a perfect decision, we have to collect data, we have to think through it, we have to do all of that. And I'm trying to convince myself that making a good decision fast is better than making a great decision slow.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's the creed of really successful entrepreneurs. One of the things I was curious about, there goes my iPhone reminding me to drink water. Andrea and Stephanie will love that. Stephanie, since you shared so many times on the show ways that we trip ourselves up because we don't understand our learning style, what kind of advice could you give Andrea that might help her from that perspective?
You know, I have a couple of different thoughts around that. I mean, any time that we're procrastinating on something, there's some kind of resistance in us, right? So it could be how she's receiving the information, which would be learning style related. You know, so Andrea, one thing to look at from the chronic procrastination that you're talking about is, do you find that you procrastinate on certain types of things more than other things? So you mentioned here, you know, on the show, email. And I know that you go out and you're a speaker and you do a lot of auditory things. So do a little bit of analysis just on those things that you – little bit of analysis. Quick thinking through of those things that you are procrastinating on. And are they the same types of things? Like, are you finding that you procrastinate more with email or more with returning voicemails? Or is it just overall procrastination? Because it could be learning style related, or it might not have anything to do with that.
No, it's interesting. I really should look at that, actually. I think, and it's funny that you say that, because I think I am really good, actually, I return phone calls immediately. I think it is something about my learning style or similar.
Well,
I love that.
I would say in my case, when a few years back, procrastination was actually my focus, my personal focus area as well, and I've mentioned on the show before that I'm introverted and I have to do a lot of different things to build up my energy and protect my energy and all that stuff. And I found myself avoiding returning phone calls. So where you were doing that great, I was awesome on the social media, awesome on email. I get right back to people, very, very proactive. But anytime it was my phone, I found I was stalling. And I mean stalling really significantly. And so I had to look inside and I finally put two and two together that it was my – there was something about me trying to protect myself from an energy. And so I set up a system within my schedule, my weekly schedule, where I made sure that if I wasn't able to return a call on that same day, that I had time reserved within my calendar to be able to do that, where I was prepared to be able to do that, to have the energy outlay that phone calls have for me.
Yeah, I love that. That's great advice, too.
I like it, too, because I totally get what you're talking about. If you try to do things when you don't have the energy reserves to help you get through them, you just keep feeling like a failure, like you're doing something wrong, when actuality, it's just your timing that's a little screwed up.
Yeah, I learned in my case, because a lot of people get confused when I say I'm an introvert, because I'm pretty animated in the way that I talk. I mean, I'm sitting here, you can't see me. I'm talking with my hands are moving around, there's energy in my call. So people don't necessarily see me as an introvert, but the drawback to that is that it drains me. And so then I need to be able to refill that when I'm by myself. So once I had that figured out, then I was able to put a system in place where I could be proactive, where I could respond to things appropriately, but I was able to pinpoint part of what the problem was.
Mm-hmm. Andrea, I'm curious, you know how you and Stephanie and I would remind each other to drink our water this year? Would it be beneficial for us to start a different kind of reminder and support for you this year?
Yes, I like that. If you guys, I'm going to say, all you have to say is email, and I'll be like, okay. I think that would be enough.
Well, we'll take your cue on that and use the tag you want. I was thinking of actually going, have you replenished your energy? But hey, we can do it.
Yeah, no, I think you need to be really, really right on the head with me, Michelle, because see, if you're not, then I may like just think that you're referring to something else. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
You know, that's interesting because I remember when I gave you some social media advice, good Lord, about 2 years ago, and you complimented me on something about that I need to remember. And I think this is a great lesson. I'm bringing it up to help listeners recognize when this happens for them. You said, I appreciate the fact that you're straightforward and give it to me, the way it needs to be heard. And I thought to myself, huh, at the time I was going, you know, I need to remember to think about creating my ideal customer persona to have the qualities and to want the qualities of who I am and who I naturally like to deliver like, instead of trying to contort myself into delivering it to people who want it different.
Mm-hmm.
So heads up, everybody. Andrea likes it straight on. Just give it to her.
Love it.
I don't mess around. I'm like that dog in the movie Up. You know, I'm like, squirrel, I'm looking off. So, yeah, I need it straight. Otherwise, I'll get distracted.
All right, Dino, it's your turn.
Well, when it comes to my biggest screw-up, there was no question. There was one that was most public, most embarrassing, biggest screw-up of the year for sure. And it came in early in the year. I think it was like March. I forgot to renew Triber.com domain name.
Oh,
and, and Triber gets tens of thousands of daily visitors, and I remember waking up, and my phone was on fire. I had text messages. I had voicemails. I looked at my emails. There was hundreds of emails. So I put my phone down, and I go in the kitchen. I make myself a coffee because I knew whatever happened, I'm going to need coffee for it. So, I check my emails and voicemails and everything, and sure enough, instead of when you go to Triber.com, instead of seeing the normal homepage, it was just ads. Domain expired, and it was just ads. So that was the biggest screw-up. And then a great lesson came out of it because we emailed everyone on our list, basically telling them what happened, how big of an idiot I am, essentially. We put up a blog post about it, and the blog post had over 100 comments, and everyone was really supportive, and everyone kind of rallied around and said, hey, listen, you're only human. Oh, that reminds me, I have to renew my domain name, and so on and so forth. So that was the biggest screw-up and most public and most embarrassing, and there it is.
So what are you going to do different in 2014 because of that lesson, though?
So, you know, what I'm going to do different in 2014 is not directly related to that particular lesson. We addressed the issue technically immediately, right? We went and we, you know, bought it for the next domain name, bought it for the next prepaid for the next 5 years and whatnot. And we were transparent with our members and we hope for the best, and the best happens. So all of that stuff we're going to continue doing. What we're going to do in 2014 is Triber so far has been mostly an island. We've had one partnership with one other company, Alchemy API, which provides natural language processing for us, for the system, for the platform. And that's been great. It's been a great partnership. It's been great for us, for our members, all of that stuff. So what we're going to do more of in 2014 is we're going to build more partnerships with other companies, platforms, whatever.
Interesting. So how can we support you with your goal in 2014?
You know, maybe just like prod me every once in a while and say, hey, you have a new partnership in the works? Because that'll remind me. And I don't know, like we're looking for organic partnerships where it really makes sense, not to like just bring any partner on board, but it has to make some kind of intrinsic sense. So, like, normally I would say, hey, recommend a partnership, but that's so hard to do. So just prod me every once in a while.
That works. I'm from Texas. We have this thing called an electrocuted cattle prod down here that might feel really
Boom.
Good.
That'll do.
Maybe we should use that on Andrea, too, since she likes things to the point.
There you go.
I don't know about that.
You know, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
We have all forgotten major things like this. Every one of us can point to something in our personal life or our business that was really important, and we forgot.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do to make sure that going forward you are less likely to forget something big in your life or your business?
Oh, man, I think what I'm going to do personally is I'm going to let Dan, my co-founder, handle more of that stuff.
Dude, you need to hire a virtual assistant, my man.
I know, I agree.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, is operations is just not Dino's thing.
No, it's not.
And that's really important for all of us to understand, is what are your strengths and what are your weaknesses?
Yeah.
And while we're focusing on our strengths, it's also important to get somebody on the team. That can be an employee, it can be a spouse, it can be a child, it can be a, you know, a contractor, somebody else who complements our strengths, that they bring strengths to the table that compensate for our weaknesses. We cannot possibly be good at everything. So
that's
who
so
can
true.
We look to? Who can we look to support us? To take care of the things that we're not good at.
Yeah.
I think that's a good place to start, Don, just asking that question, who can we look to help support us where our strengths aren't, and just start letting names bubble up and then talk to them and try to make some kind of arrangement, whatever that needs to look like. Because I know that's definitely how you've been able to help me. You know, your area – Your natural strength of sales and the things that you think about, even though I've been an entrepreneur for 30 years and I've been great in sales and other arenas, I've had to learn a different methodology. I've had to learn a different perspective. I've had to learn how to just do it different so that it
right.
becomes more natural for me. And so, interesting. All right, so Jeff. It's your turn on the hot seat.
Man, there are so many mistakes. I mean, I don't know about you. I just feel like every day there's mistakes. That's just part of getting out there and going after it. You know, if I'm not making mistakes and I'm not working. But I think, I mean, there are a couple that come to mind. The first one that really strikes me is that I went to launch my business in September, and I went out and got a logo for it. In the time, the company, it's still called this. It's Lady Soleil, Inc., which is named after my daughter. But I put the logo out on Facebook. And the next thing you know, I have everybody commenting on the feed. And, you know, the question was, which logo do you like best? And everybody's telling me that, dude, it sucks. a shitty name. Excuse my language. It's terrible. You sound like a feminine hygiene product.
I remember all this, by the way.
Yeah. You're a travel destination company, all this stuff. And meanwhile, my wife and I are reading this. And keep in mind, this is named after our daughter. And I'm not saying what people wrote was wrong. It's just, you know, we took it personally because of that. And it was just a lot. But after about 70 comments, I decided to listen. And I rebranded the company, Tenacity 5. I think it was a lot sooner than that. I kind of knew within 15, 20 comments I was going to have to listen up because, you know, just doing what we do professionally, it was obvious. And so that was it. You know, I rebranded the company. But it was a healthy reminder to consider your customer. You know, your customer is who matters, not what you want as a business. And it's so funny that I coach so many companies about how to go and attract customers and build their businesses. And the number one thing I always say is to serve the customer, to understand the customer, to work with them, to build something that they want, that they're going to be attracted to. And I completely did the exact opposite myself. So I'm a hypocrite. That's my big mistake this year.
I don't know if I'd call you a hypocrite. I would say that some of our biggest and deepest lessons are in our own arena because sometimes we forget to take our own advice.
Oh, yeah.
We do.
I think I've heard Don say it once, you can't read the label when you're inside the jar.
Ah, that's from Steve Woodruff. So yes, I shared that on the show several times. You can't read the label of the jar you're in.
I love that quote.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it's hard to see when you're inside the glass. I've heard that before, and I definitely agree with that. It's still, though, I mean, I feel like that's the trick of being in business. Like, you can't be inside the glass. You have to be outside of the glass. You have to force yourself into doing things to make yourself stand outside the glass. And I completely bombed on that.
I'd be curious, Jeff, did you ask any of your colleagues advice before you came up with that name, or did you just go out and do it?
Nah, I didn't ask. I don't care what. I don't really care so much about what my colleagues think, like other marketers, agency people. I mean, honestly, you know, they were like, "Well, why would you put a number in your name?" And frankly, I think one of the best things I've done. But I did care about what my customers thought and people who would buy the services. And I did check the second name before I went out with that. So I think that was the mistake. I mean, my competitors, I think, particularly in this sector, in social media marketing, it's just such a catty business that it's very difficult to rely on peers.
Well, I asked that question from the perspective of they're more detached from it than you and could have pointed out some of those obvious things. The person that I've learned the most around business names, tags and messaging, of course, has been Daniel. Daniel, what's your insights on this, and how can we, anytime we make these steps, prevent ourselves from stubbing our toes so hard?
Oh, man, how much time do you have? you know, it's funny because we've heard this theme resurface a couple of times over the course of the day. You know, Stephanie discussing advice from SEOs, you know, regarding the name, the URLs that you should choose and how you should name your site. And Jeff, of course, you know, with the story about choosing a name that gives off the, you know, gives the right approach and kind of gives off the right effect. I would say
we were going to change the tagline for the new company to be because we didn't want to be a douche.
Well,
oh, no.
I think just the number one thing is avoid the generic at all costs. Really avoid the generic and take your time, you know, when it comes to coming up with your name. Earlier in the show, Dino mentioned it's better to make a good decision fast than a great decision slow. And generally, I would agree with that. But it's definitely better to make a great decision slowly than it is to make a bad decision quickly. And it's really hard to reroute your name. I have companies come to me all the time and say, you know, what's wrong? And I tell them, you know, you need to rebrand. Your name stinks. I shoot straight with them. I say it about like that. And they go, well, we can't really afford to do that. And I tell them, well, you can't really afford not to do that because you're going to go out of business. It's one of the things that you 100% control when it comes to your business. Nobody can get in your way except for you when it comes to picking your own name. So take your time to do it. And it's going to come to you one of two different ways. You're going to list a ton of names, and either one of them is going to grow on you over time, and you say, that's the one. Or the second you write it down, you're going to say, that's the one. That's exactly what I should choose. That's the one I should go with. I think Don is a great person to ask, because I think we've discussed this before, because the Sales Heretic is a great name. It's a wonderful name. It's clear. It tells you what he's doing, but at the same time, it definitely has an edge to it. It definitely makes him unique.
Thank you, Dan. And I did kind of what you said. I wrote down all kinds of names, and this one actually came to me while I was in the shower going over a conversation I had the previous day with somebody about my approach to speaking and training about sales. And as soon as I had this name, I knew that it was the right one.
I completely relate. The shower, drifting off to sleep. And I relate to, you know, I relate to the name itself, too. I always am telling Michelle, you know, maybe this makes me a heretic, but. So I completely relate.
You know, the thing that I find funny about that is I've been on both sides of that. And I think the hardest part when you pick one that doesn't work, that you're attached to, is just to separate your feelings from it. And I think Jeff's been pretty transparent that was really tough for them, because none of us would. I was there when all that happened, Jeff. None of us were saying that we didn't like Soleil's name. We were just saying we didn't think it was good for your business because she's gorgeous. Have you guys seen the picture of Jeff's daughter?
I get that, but you know, it's still, you know, it was still personal. It didn't matter. I mean, you know, it gets back to me like some of the times that. You look at the way people say things online behind keyboards, and they may not have felt it was personal, but some of the way that things were expressed, it was wrong. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. It was wrong. But there were a couple of times where I just, like, I said something to somebody privately in one case, and in another case I did just, you know, flat out call a person out and say, do you always talk about people's children's names in such ways? You know, I mean, it was just a completely unmindful comment. And, you know, I mean, to me, I did eventually just turn off the emotion chip, so to speak, and just looked at it in a quantifiable level where it was so many negative comments. But, you know, there's nothing you could say that would make it unpersonal for me, because it is my daughter.
Well, and that brings up a really interesting point. There are times when people tell me it's not personal, it's business, I just look them in the eye and go, everything I do in my business is personal, because everything that I bring to the table first emanates from the core of who I am. So let's don't go off of the premise of that myth or that lie. I'd be curious, Andrea, because mindset is your area of expertise, how do you help clients when they're in that space where there's no doubt what's happening is personal? How can we transition around that so that it doesn't take us down a rabbit hole?
Yeah, it's so challenging, Michelle, because of course, I think it would be a mistake to say it isn't personal, especially in this case, but it's how we're going to internalize it. And we've got to remember that people are coming at things with their own beliefs and experiences. And unfortunately, and this is just the truth, unfortunately, a lot of it is biased and it's ignorant and it's not based on anything except just what side of the bed that they woke up on this morning. We all take Yahoo for granted, the word Yahoo, the word Google, and the word Amazon. And quite frankly, those words are kind of weird, silly words.
but today they seem all completely reasonable. And why is that? Well, it's just because somebody kind of fought through the muck and branded them. And, yes, they did strategies very well, and things went their way, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not, you know, I don't want to go down that side of things, but that's just, you know, it's not like, you know, strange names haven't worked in the past. So it really comes down to people's own biases, beliefs, and everything else. It really says everything about everyone else who is judging, who is saying, oh, that's just so silly. Who would do that? It's really unfortunately just coming from a place where people are judging, and that's what they're going to do. It says everything about them. That's what we have to remember. It just says everything about them.
You know, the interesting thing about that is that that topic has really risen to the surface like cream on milk this year, as far as how people react, respond, and sometimes turn into lynch mobs because of the immediacy of how we can communicate with one another anymore. And I think one of the things that I'm noticing is that I have to really ask myself questions whenever I'm seeing something and I go to respond. It's all of our responsibilities to ask ourselves before we respond, am I responding from a place of heart where I really want to help, or am I just reacting out of fear, frustration, or anger?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I mean, the reality is no one knows whether that name would have worked or not. But I think people do react strongly, and they just react. I mean, you could have said it was horrible. I could have said it was the most fantastic thing I'd ever heard, and the question is, who's right? Well, the reality is we don't know, and it doesn't, quite frankly, it doesn't really matter. It really only matters what the person who has to own it, grow it, build it, decide. They have to make the decision that, you know, it's like one of those things where you have to make the decision, am I going to stand behind it, or do I think, you know what, maybe it's not a good idea, and I'm gonna change it up and go with something that that may communicate, you know, better. It's happened to me before. I mean, believe me, I, you know, we come up with names and you get a little bit of feedback, and it doesn't mean though that you've done something wrong or that, you know, it's about you. So you've got to. I know that it does feel very personal, but it says everything about the other people and where they're coming from. That's all.
That's a critical point, because as small business owners and professionals, everything we do is an extension of us. So your point, Michelle, that everything is personal is accurate, because from our perspective, any criticism of our product, it is a criticism of us. You know, Triber is, to a large extent, a reflection of Dino. And if someone says, well, Triber sucks, or Triber isn't this or isn't that, well, it's hard for Dino not to take that personally, because Triber is his baby. It's what he created, and so it's an extension of him. Just as any of our books or any of our products are extensions of ourselves. What we have to keep in mind is what Andrea just said. When someone's criticizing it, it's not personal to us. It's business. It's really a reflection of them and their mindset, and whether or not our product is simply a fit for them, or idea is a fit for them. And in many cases, it's just not. And that's not our fault.
I got a letter today from somebody that read my most recent novel, and it was quite negative. And it was not like five paragraphs long. It was just really, really just a really angered, devout critic. And, you know, I just decide not to respond.
Uh-huh.
That's usually how I handle most of that stuff. It's just to, you know, as somebody that wrote that book, it took 20 years to write that book. So there's nothing I'm going to say that it's not going to devolve that situation. So usually I find, as somebody that's a small business owner, and frankly, even people that I've seen that are, in large businesses and manage products also get stuck in this too, because, you know, they work all day on this stuff, every day, every week, every month, is to just try to detach as much as possible and to not get emotionally involved. And if you can't do that, not to respond at all. Not that doesn't mean not to listen or to look at it and to see whether or not the feedback has some merit or some usefulness, but just to not get into it with folks is just so important. Mm-hmm. It's just really one of the things that, even with that situation and the rebrand, that after I saw that the comments were going to just keep coming, that there was nothing I could do about it, and I would only hurt the situation and continue to fight it. And just to just shut off and not do anything if you can't engage positively.
Well, I think you bring something really important to the table around that, Jeff. And boy, can I speak to that from experience, because I started a whole community where I brought someone in to help me grow that literally stole it out from underneath my feet, then proceeded to bully me in the social media space. And it was really, really difficult to not respond, to not react. And they tried to even use the whole, see, she doesn't even have anything to say back to us because she knows we're right. And I just had to let it go. There was a lot of frustration behind it. There were a lot of tears behind it. But some people are just, they're mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right, Michelle, and that's really why it says everything about that other person. Sometimes, you know, it's like someone decides that someone else, of all the millions of people, they're just going to pick somebody that's their enemy, you know, and go after them for whatever reason. Well, that's everything about what's going on with them, their background, their history. There's just something. It's the same as if they just decided that they hate with a passion scrambled eggs. Now, everyone else seems to love scrambled eggs just fine, but they hate them. Well, that's just their opinion. So it's the same thing. And I know when you're in it, it doesn't feel good, but you just have to step aside and say, wow, that person's really messed up.
And I also had to take the perspective. I had a couple of really good, I still have them as mentors. And my PR mentor was like, you know what? They are going to do this to someone else, and they'll do it to someone else. And pretty soon what will happen is everyone will see that that's their pattern. And that has become so obvious now.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took about 2.5 years before I could gain what I would call the satisfaction, not that anybody else got hurt, but the satisfaction of people starting to see them for the snake they were.
Yep.
Well, it's time for us to jump on over to Daniel and find out what has been his biggest mistake for 2013. So you have the mic, dude.
Thanks, Michelle. Well, I'll start with something I've done right, which is under-promise and over-deliver. So I'll go ahead and give you 4 mistakes. you know, the number one, this is the number one, and I know you always talk about taking care of ourselves, and this is one I've spoken to you about really recently, and that's I want to sleep more because I'm not as effective when I don't do it, and I have this thing, and I think it's really, if you're a startup and you're entrepreneurial-minded, and it's your first year in business, and especially if you're a writer, because you really, you know, we tend to be night owls a lot of times, and, you know, we grind, and it's just in our nature to maybe keep on cruising. And that's not that's really not healthy. I want to do a little less burning of the midnight oil, a little more smelling of the morning coffee, and really just take care of myself in that respect and sleep more. I think I've had overall a pretty healthy year. I try to take care of myself. I eat right, but that's one that I really want to do, and that's just a matter, I think, largely of time management. Dialing back one thing that has been a double-edged sword. I have a competitive advantage, which is, you know, I will outwork, outcompete, out-hustle kind of take an aggressive approach to business. And I want to keep that, you know, I want to keep that general vibe, but I also want to I'm not sleeping, because that is a little too aggressive, and that stops being aggressive in the larger business environment and starts being aggressive to myself, and that's not really fair, and it's not really effective. The second mistake is a little too much slippage, and that falls into, and when I say that, I'm really talking about some of the basic things, and it's almost embarrassing to say, but even some accounting. You know, I definitely got my house in order overall, so I have no major problems with accounting before I started my business. But slippage exists no matter what. You're always going to miss one thing here or there, and I want to get a little bit better at that. I want to track every number. I really want to get just a little bit better at remembering every little piece and developing a little bit more of an analytical mindset. I don't think it's any surprise that I am, you know, for lack of a better term, kind of right-brained, and I've spoken about it on the show plenty of times before, and I want to get turned into a little bit, you know, encourage a little more holistic thinking inside of my business, and I think that that's going to reduce the slippage, because I think it's going to incorporate a little bit more analysis into what I'm doing. The third is less commitment to tasks based on pressure or, you know, a larger dream, when I already pretty much have previous commitments. So stop over-committing. I've done that a little bit, and that hurts on the sleep front. I think that that's probably connected, is when you have too much to do and you feel pressure to stay up and do it, or pressure to get it done, you start running out of time, and that's naturally going to feed over into other things like sleep or free time or things that you do with, you know, things that you do that maybe are connected to your world but aren't necessarily 100% connected to your business. And finally, you know, I think I'm going to take a note from Andrea. I think I'm going to go for no a little bit more, because I have really sales is one of the stronger parts of the business, and I mean end-to-end, the whole cycle, prospecting, finding, networking, inbound leads, you know, all in good shape. The close rate is pretty good. But to tell you the truth, I'd like to qualify just a little bit more. And I think part of qualifying involves ratcheting up the offer and really, really getting what you want out of it, and that's going to induce more no. And I'm not afraid of no, but I probably should be going for it a little bit more. So those are the four things I think I did in 2013 that I want to change and try to do better in 2014.
I totally understand number one, and I am in full support of number four.
Ew.
It's funny how when you ratchet up your offers to go for more no, well, I wanted to share something. I find it interesting when you are colleagues with a potential client and they talk about how brilliant you are and you need to ask for every penny you're worth, and then when they go to negotiate with you, they go into negotiation, and I'm like, yep, nope, I'm coming back to you with what I want. That takes a lot of chutzpah when you're friends as well as potential clients.
It does. It's very, I mean, this is business. It's, you know, fearlessness and guts go a long way. I think everybody on the line right now has shown that, and that's why we're all still in business and we're still thriving.
I remember when you talked about the whole sleep thing before the show, I asked you some questions, and I bring them up now, not that you need a reminder, but so that listeners will ask themselves these questions, and that is, how do you set yourself up to receive good sleep? I learned this lesson about 7 years ago from a really good friend of mine who's a professional pilot. And I had not known all of them, and I thought, wow, I wish I'd have known these a lot longer. But one of the several things that he taught me is, one, you need to always make sure that the temperature in your room is cooler than you really think it should be, that affects your level of sleep, the quality of your sleep. The other thing that a lot of people tend to really fight is to not have any light whatsoever in your bedroom, including if you have a carbon monoxide or smoke alarm in there, take a piece of masking tape and cover up the light. Even the littlest pinpoint of light can really throw off your melatonin. And I found that when I practice those diligently, the quality of my sleep just goes up big time.
I'd like to actually jump in there too, Michelle, if I can. Daniel, when you talked about getting enough sleep, you triggered a big emotional response from me, because I was what you're describing for a number of years. But back in 2009, I was also really sick and told I wouldn't see 2010. And one of the largest reasons for that was because I didn't practice self-care. I was so driven, and I had taken on so many things. And if you look in my office, I have wards all over the place from earlier of that time in my life, but my body took its toll. And so, you know, I passionately feel, you know, get that sleep, because it does catch up with you. One of my biggest challenges when I was learning on how to do that, you know, I do 4 hours a night. More sleep than that, who needs that? But one of my biggest challenges was I couldn't shut off my brain. I couldn't, you know, I'd do everything they told me to do. I'd get into bed, and then I'd just lay there and stare at the ceiling. And I tried all kinds of stuff. And one technique, and I still use it today, that was suggested to me that's worked, including all the things that Michelle talks about, but the way that I was able to get my brain to shut off is about an hour before I intended to go to bed, I started teaching my body that it was time to slow down. So anything that was, you know, if the radio was on or if the TV was on or, you know, any kind of audible, I turned way down a very low level. The lighting in the room, I turned down to a very low level, because it let my body progressively know that, okay, we're getting ready to start going to sleep. And in doing that consistently, it's made a huge difference in how quickly I was able to go to sleep and how refreshing the sleep actually was. So I can share that as well. I got a feeling that your mind goes a million miles an hour as well.
You hit it on the head, and that's a really that's a great piece of advice. You know, I talk about them pretty often on the show, but I'm trying to more and more follow some of what James Altucher puts out there, which is, and one of his big things is, you know, sleep, and so I think he's in bed every night by 9, and he starts reading a little bit of fiction at 8 in bed, and then he starts noticing he's trailing off, and so he just puts the fiction aside and goes to sleep. So I think you're right, and I do have an issue with that, you know, with slowing down a little bit. So thank you.
It took me time to it's a habit, because you've built your habit to be geared up. I mean, I used to say that it was easier for me to stay up until 2 or 3 in the morning than it was to get up at that same time.
Yeah.
But good deal.
I was going to say, personally, I find that when I have a hard time writing, it's not because I really have writer's block. It's really because I'm tired. And I really just need to sleep, you know. Even though I really believe in the discipline of writing every day, when I'm exhausted, the best thing I can do is take a couple days off and just rest. So it's really a very prescient point, one that I try to pay attention to as well.
Yeah, the ritual around helping you to get into that mode, you know, you just need to figure out what that is for you. I don't know if anybody ever notices when I talk about stuff on Facebook, but there's a couple of things that I do, and I don't know that they would necessarily work for you, but maybe they'll just stimulate your thought to what might work for you. Essential oils are really, really powerful when you use them correctly. I was lucky enough to come from the holistic healthcare world. I was the first certified aromatherapist in the city of Houston, by the way. And it was really interesting to watch when I worked with clients, especially those who had children. I remember this one mother was like, no matter what I do, I just can't seem to get him calmed down at night. And, you know, most people would go, well, you know, just give them some lavender. Well, while lavender is a calming essential oil, that's kind of like telling someone, because aspirin will take away pain, to take aspirin every time you have a pain. It doesn't necessarily zero in on the need. I had to really uncover more about who the child was and what were some other things that were going on with him. And then we uncovered the perfect remedy for him, which was blue chamomile. She'd give him a bath in that, and he'd be asleep in 30 minutes. So it's about finding the right solution for you.
That's a good piece of advice. I'll try it all. I will try it.
Oh, gosh, gee, now it's time for me to have to tell everybody my big mistake.
Yep.
Okay. Well, you know, when I was thinking about this, I did kind of struggle with this one this year, and then all of a sudden it hit me yesterday what it was, and that was, I was not as physical last year as I committed that I was going to be, and that has really held me back, because one of the things that I talk about as an entrepreneur, the importance of extreme self-care and making sure that you are filling up your resources so that you are the best that you can be. And there were a few things I tried to get back on track with last year, because for a while, for so many years, skating did that for me. And I went out to do that, and I actually fell and hurt myself pretty bad. And I tried to keep pushing myself in that direction, because I knew how much satisfaction I had gotten out of skating. But I was never quite able to get over the fear, not of falling, but of falling and hurting myself so that I couldn't work. So I had to get really clear about what the real fear was. I didn't mind skinning my knee or you know, the actual fall. Was it sore? Yeah. Did I know the things to do for myself physically to heal that? I did. I know that, like, with my eyes closed. But I had to uncover the, you know, it's me. I don't have, stop crying. I don't have anyone else to rely on, and I do a lot to help support my mother. So if I hurt myself where I couldn't work, I would be totally screwed. And then I just didn't do anything. And I don't want to do that this year. I want to find an activity that supports my health that I can do in a safe manner, but that will also give me enough intensity that I don't feel like I'm just taking the lazy way out. So that was my mistake this year. That's what I want to do different and better in 2014, and I haven't figured it out yet.
Jillian and I are taking up swimming.
Yeah, you know, Michelle, I blew out my knee, right?
Yeah. No, I didn't know you blew out your knee.
Yeah, I ran a tough mutter.
Oh, my God.
You know, 40-year-old man trying to act like a 20-year-old man. And blew out my knee completely. And, you know, I've gained, like, 25 pounds since then. And, you know, I just I still work out a ton, but I just will not run one of those again. Even though I really, really want to. It was one of the best experiences of my life. I just feel like, I just can't afford to do it. I mean, to this day, I had microfracture surgery on my knee, and it's been a year, almost a year to the day. It was on the 26th that I had the surgery last year, and I still do not have full recovery of my knee. And I just think that those moments are incredibly humbling, because they really show us our mortality in a way. And like, just listening to you talk about it and like the possible impact on your future, et cetera, I totally get that. And for me, the big takeaway is I am really, really grateful to have the opportunity to do the things that I do every day. And that knee, when it hurts or bends, funny, reminds me of that. And so it really is one of those things which can be horrifically frightening or a half-full moment. But at the same time, I wasn't too thrilled to upgrade my wardrobe or upsize it. But, you know, it's just what I had to do. And I think that was also humbling in the sense that I just had to accept that I'm middle-aged now. You know, I'm just not a boy. I just can't do it anymore.
And yeah, that's really frustrating, and that's scary, because, like you said, it's a reminder of our mortality. We're all getting older. I broke my toe a few months ago in Aikido, and I had to stay out of the dojo for 6 weeks. I couldn't walk for several days because the pain was so bad. And I've got now one of my knees that can only handle so much activity before it starts screaming at me. And it's frustrating, and it's scary, and what we have to do is look for alternatives. What can we do instead? And the fact is we're getting older, but exercising will help keep us younger over
absolutely
time.
Definitely.
And keep finding out what can we do that we can enjoy and that we can do within our physical capabilities.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I find myself doing a lot more cross-training, you know, those elliptical machines and bicycling. It's not. It's just not the same thing as running. But you know,
no.
I will take the incident as being informed that running is not a good idea anymore.
Well, Michelle, I hope you guys don't mind if I jump in here. As I just want to say, I mean, I think that it's always hard when you go back to, and I don't remember which one of you guys was talking about this, but it's always hard when you go back to something that you were good at, that you loved, and there is a certain amount of, I think it was very cool that you went out and you tried it, and, you know, you learned something, and the fact is that, yeah, you may have to do other things, because it is really important that you're there for your mom and all of that, so you've got, I can hear that you've obviously got some stress and some pressure and weight on yourself. You've got expectations or people that, you know, need you, and so you need to be in great health. So, you know, it is going to be really important for 2014. I'm so glad you pointed it out that you take care of yourself both physically, do some physical things, and also emotionally, whether that's yoga or something like that. You know, don't leave that out, because although it may sound, you know, quote, easy, that stuff can be, you know, challenging as well.
Yoga is not easy.
Yeah. And the interesting thing is I'm really proud of what I was able to do 2013 to support the other areas of recharging my resources. I have reminders all around me to remind myself if I get frustrated, to take a deep breath and to focus, okay, what is the thing that's giving me joy in this moment? Last year, I was finally able to totally get back to eating the way that I know is best for me. And, you know, so everybody may have made fun of me, but I didn't really care. I feel better when I start my day off with really great fresh juice that I'm in there cutting up the vegetables that I'm drinking. I feel a huge difference in my energy and my vitality and what I'm able to bring to the table when I support myself that way physically. So I had all these other things that I had lined up really well. Yeah, but that one, the one thing that I was really missing as far as skating, because while it's a physical activity, it hits for me on multiple levels. When I get into a rhythm with it, it's really meditative for me. So my mind unwinds and my creative button just turns on to the point where I used to joke I need to have one of those automatic recorders on my T-shirt so that when all those brilliant thoughts come to me, I can just say them out loud and they're recorded and they're done, and then I don't have to remember to write them down when I get off my skates. So yeah, that was the tough part, because it literally fed me I know that sounds funny, but it fed me in so many different ways, and I missed it so much, and I got out there to do it, and I actually did it pretty good. The skill's not gone. It's where can I do it safely? In other words, where's mm-hmm. the surface safe so that I don't fall? Because it wasn't my skill that caused me to fall. It was the crappy-ass roads there are to skate on.
mm-hmm.
Can you skate in a bouncy castle?
Oh, Don, you're an idiot. I love you. A bouncy castle. You know, one of the jokes I used to make is when I get to the point where I'm at that level of rich where you can just build yourself anything you want, I'm building myself my own roller skating ring.
Oh, good goal.
Because when you can skate on a wood floor, oh, my God. I mean, this actually goes back to more than just, it goes back to more than just, you know, 15, 20 years ago when I got my first inline skates. It goes all the way back to when I was about 7 years old and I got my first pair of skates. It took me a while for this to surface. I got those kind of skates that you actually put on over your shoes for Christmas 1 year. And when I would get really frustrated with my dad, I would go out into the garage and I would skate circles until I was happy.
Interesting. That is interesting. Well, see, I think there's some more there, Michelle.
There definitely is. So thank you guys for coming on and sharing with us, you know, what you've learned for yourself this year and what do you want to do different next year? It's always been kind of fascinating, even if we only shared this with one another, how I learned from listening to your lessons. And I've gotten a lot of comments from listeners where they're just like, wow, this is like a major, they make fun of me. This is like a major brain download for us, because I think it's cool when we have an opportunity to be fully present with one another, share where we feel like we've made our mistakes, and not just be supportive for one another in 2014, but be conscious of, as we're going through different choices or decisions that we make, your lessons actually have popped up for me, and I've recognized it when I've been about, you know, all in 2013, I remember some of the things that you've said, and it surfaces whenever I have to make those choices. And I think that's the beauty of how we've shared in this space, is that we give that gift to everybody who listens to the show.
Thank you for having me, Michelle.
Thank you, Michelle. You're awesome. Thank you, and happy, prosperous New Year to everybody.